from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office in his office at this time, and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." This ends the reading.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. It's found in chapter 4 and begins with verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word. Several years ago, I had an experience of which I am not proud, but I can at least say that I have learned something from it. I was visiting an elder woman in one of the congregations I was serving, and in the midst of the conversation, she used a racial epithet, the N-word, to be precise. Now, I know this woman. She doesn't hate anyone. She came from a time and a place where she learned that this word was descriptive, but not necessarily derogatory. She meant no harm. Yet even though she meant no harm, it is still wrong to use that word, because it does hurt, whether we mean it or not. Words can indeed wound, and that one has wounded many along the way. But worse than what she said was what I did in response. Nothing. I sat there and said nothing to her about her choice of words. I said and did nothing in the face of racism, whether deliberate or unconscious. I sinned by omission. It was not until some time later that I realized my sin. And in that particular instance, I sinned in at least two ways. One, I chose to turn and look the other way when another was using sinful, hurtful words and not honoring a brother or sister in Christ. But the second sin is less obvious. You see, up to that point, I had a tendency to say nothing when I heard an older person use such racial epithets. Now, a younger person I would confront, but not someone who was in their golden years. What you might interpret on the surface of things as a respect for my elders was actually the opposite. For when I examined my true feelings, I was operating under the assumption that this or that person was too old to know better or too old to learn a new way. And that is not only wrong, but it too is prejudice and very disrespectful. Now, what moved me after this instance to no longer keep silent was hearing again a saying I'd heard before, and many of you, I'm sure, have heard, and I will now paraphrase it. They came for the Jews, and I said nothing because I was not a Jew. They came for the handicapped, but I said nothing because I was not handicapped. They came for the homosexuals, and I said nothing because I am not one. They came for the Catholics, and I said nothing because I am not a Catholic. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak in my defense. It is not an easy thing to acknowledge and repent for our sins, and it's especially hard for us to recognize our sins of omission. We usually think of sin as something we say or think or do. Rarely do we think of sin as something we don't do or don't say. But those are sins too, when we know there's something we should have done and we chose not to. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." We can't see everything clearly. And when we're looking at ourselves and looking at our sin, I think we like it that way. I think we prefer that mirror to be a little fuzzy. Because it's hard to courageously, honestly face ourselves, face our sin. But that is what we do during Lent. This is part of our preparation for celebrating Easter. For how can we truly, joyfully celebrate the resurrection and salvation from sin and death if we don't first recognize that we need saving? This morning's sermon is titled, "Will You Please Speak Up?" Because I think our scripture readings exhort us not to fall into the sin of doing and saying nothing. Our first lesson, which was read earlier from Deuteronomy, reminds us what we are called to do in response to the saving acts of God. But it also reminds us that once we were a wandering people, with no home, no true belonging. As we cried out in our loneliness and despair, God heard our cries and answered them. We remember through the story of our ancestors that we too have been led through the desert of sin and death and have come to the promised land. We too partake of the milk and honey and have the consummate joy of anticipating the great banquet in the kingdom of God. In the face of all that God has done for us as a body of believers and for each of us as individuals, it would be sin for us to say or do nothing. So in our reading, we are instructed. What are we to say? We are to give thanks to the Lord. Bring a portion of what has been given us in grateful response, that it might be shared with others. Celebrate the divine goodness and compassion, and tell God just how good God is. Speak and show your thanksgiving during this season and always, that you might give the Lord the praise that is due God, and so that you will be reminded from prayer all this goodness comes. There's another scripture reading for today that we didn't read. It's from Romans, but it's also one that focuses on responding. It considers what we are to do and say about who and whose we are. Well, we know who we are, don't we? I mean, I know who I am. I'm Laura. But wait a minute, there's more. Who am I? Who are we? We are a people redeemed by the grace and love of God that we witnessed in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and that we experience through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Now, who do we belong to? You know the answer to this, don't you? Nod your head. Yes, we know the answer. We belong to God. We are adopted, called, chosen. We are one in Christ, and Christ is our brother. We are children of the one who made us, called us, loves us, and is always with us. And this will never change. You know, when I think about that, that sounds like a good thing. Doesn't that sound like a good thing to you? Again, nod your heads. Yes, it does. It sounds like a good thing. Then why are we notoriously silent? If we have truly accepted the gift of salvation offered in Jesus, and we walk in the grace of God, this is a good thing, and we need to tell others about it. Not so that we can brag, but so that they can get in on the good thing too. When I was waiting tables many, many years ago, see, not like when Richard was a child, which was many, 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 just too many for me. When I was waiting tables, one of the things that they told us in our training was that if a person had a bad experience in the restaurant, they would tell approximately 19 people. But if they had a good experience, maybe they'd tell 3. What kind of experience have you had in your family of faith? Can people tell? What do you say? Let's reverse the trend. You know, I've often heard the joke, and it's really not funny, or the phrase or the saying, whatever you want to call it, that disciples are the best kept secret in town. Let's quit keeping the secret. What we have to tell, what we have to share is better than any 5-star meal in a restaurant, any luxurious dining experience. What God offers and what we tell about is eternal. It's lasting. It's greater than our minds can imagine and our hearts can feel. So don't keep it a secret. Tell your friends, your family, your co-workers, the person who does your hair, the person who brings your mail. Invite them to come and share the gift of God's redeeming love with you. The late Ralph Glenn, former regional minister here in the Southwest region, likened our typical evangelistic efforts in the Christian church to that of the minister who stands on the porch and while he's knocking on the door is simultaneously praying that no one will be home. We are too timid. Now, we don't have to beat somebody up over the head with the good news, but we must not be embarrassed. What we have to share is of consequence. It is of substance. It matters. It's better than anything that the world has to offer. Finally, in our gospel reading this morning, we see Jesus in the wilderness, facing the temptations as presented him by Satan. Satan tempts Jesus to acts of self-aggrandizement, to power and fame and popularity. All this will be yours if only you will worship me, Satan says. What does Jesus do? He talks back. He speaks. He answers the devil with the truth about God. Man does not live by bread alone. Worship the Lord your God. Do not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus quoted the Bible. He confessed the truth. And it was that confession that gave him the strength to fight temptation, to stand strong for the Lord. So what does that teach us? When faced with temptation, when you lean towards taking the easy way, maybe that's the quiet way, when you have an opportunity to share and you don't, when you're tempted to take the smooth way, the world's way, when faced with the devil, when faced with evil, know this. You are not alone. Jesus has, as the saying goes, been there and done that. So what do? We do like Jesus. We turn to the scriptures for guidance. We tell the devil where to go and we lean on God. Let the Lord strengthen you through the Spirit and through God's holy word. Do not let your response be sin and silence. Rather, let it be like Peter and John when questioned in prison about their joy. When they were facing death, they said, "We cannot keep from speaking about that which we have seen and heard." God calls for your response. God is waiting. Will you please speak up?